Anybody missed a meal this year? God's taking care of us. We want to take a second and give thanks to Him back in our tithes and offerings. Not the normal way we pass the plate, so good luck, ushers. They'll be coming by each table, and let's be thankful for God's provision. Lord, thank you for the way you have taken care of us this year. As a church, as families, as individuals, Lord, we know this has been a challenging year for some in here. And we also know it's been a year of milestones and joy and celebration for others. In the middle of all of it, Lord, you have taken care of us. And we are grateful for that. It's out of that gratefulness that we give back to you what you have already given to us. Lord, take these tithes and offerings today. Use them for the spreading of your kingdom and the telling of your story. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys are tired from the holiday season? How many of you are not tired? How many of you could have more time with your friends and family? How many of you want less time with your friends and family? Hey, today's going to be fun. It's going to be laid back. I realized at the beginning that I did not introduce myself, and there might be somebody either in-house or watching online that does not know me. My name is James. I'm on staff here, and it is a pleasure to be able to facilitate a conversation with you this morning. There might be people around your table you don't know, so really, really quick, just if there is, introduce yourself. All right, we good? Everybody's met everybody now? Perfect. Hi, Joshua. Okay, laid back, relaxed, fun. Please eat, please drink, please refill, please do all those things. But I'll tell you that multiple times. Not a trick question. It was happening back in the 1900s. It still happens today. When a high school sports team finishes their season, what do they do? Nailed it right there. Party, right? I mean, after hours in a weight room, after hot summer sessions, after the joys of victory and agony of defeat, no matter how the season ended up, they celebrate. Am I right? Okay, you guys are already just talking amongst yourselves, huh? Somebody pass me the juice. Hey, if you see juice on somebody else's table that you like more than yours, go get it, okay? Celebration doesn't just happen in sports teams. When a family builds a house, when it's finally completed, they move in. They invite their friends, their family, their neighbors over for a meal. They look at pictures of the process, and they celebrate, right? Okay, when an author writes a book, we don't have our resident author in-house. Anybody here ever wrote a book? Randy, if you're watching online, thank you for being our resident author. when an author finishes a book, what do? They send it to the printers, to the, the editors. They have a pre-launch signing, and then they celebrate. Today is our last Sunday in not just the year, but in the Bible in a Year, Where's Jesus Sermon Series. Should we celebrate that? That it's our last Sunday? Yeah, okay, sure, yes. You gotta go woo-hoo or something. Hey, so it's been an adventure. I know not everybody has done this. We're gonna talk about that. If you did this, you have read just under 1,400 pages. 1,396 pages. If it takes you 15 minutes to read the daily readings, that's 5,500 minutes of reading this past fall, which, if you're quick at math, is 91 and a half hours. If you listened to sermons on Sunday mornings, that's another 26 hours this year. That is a lot of Bible in a year, and that is something to celebrate. It's a huge accomplishment. So when we celebrate, all good celebrations have food. You got food on your table. I want to thank Deb and Lori for making and putting together this food. Both of them? Okay, sweet. They left. They didn't want to eat it. Every good celebration has laughter. Everybody just go, ha, 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 ha. All right, good. Now you're getting every good celebration has shared stories. Spots family, we're going to need you to pick it up a little bit. At 11. Okay, hey, so today we're going to celebrate, all right? If you came on Christmas Eve, you got a little the handout that's on the table. If you received the midweek email, you also got those same questions. We realize that not everybody in here participated in the Bible in a Year reading, and that's completely fine. There's still going to be room for conversation for everybody around your table. Okay, we also realize that on most Sundays, we send our kids downstairs to do children's church to learn in an age-appropriate way, and I would bet probably my entire salary that none, it's doubtful that parents take their kids home that they sent downstairs and then have them watch the sermon online afterwards, right? Doubtful. So, there's people in here who haven't read the Bible in a year. There's people in here who haven't listened to sermons. It's okay, because we're all going to be able to participate. If you're watching online, we have four questions that we're going to ask, and we're going to have discussion around each table about those four questions. Some will relate to the Bible in a year. Some will just participatory for everybody. If you're watching online and you want to participate with us this morning, text in your answers to the number that'll be on the screen, because that will come to me and we'll let you participate. Make sense? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Here's how the order's going to go. I'm going to ask a question. You guys are going to talk around your table. Depending on the question, we're going to have some people from each table maybe share, or one or two or three people from the total room share, and then we're going to applause, and then we're going to go to the next question. Very good. Two rules for me. One, when someone else is talking, just listen to them. That's courtesy. Two, when someone else is done talking, doesn't matter who, somebody at the table say, thank you for sharing. Just feels good when you hear that, okay? I said two rules, make it three rules. Have fun, okay? If you need to refill your food, your drink, you need to go to the bathroom during any of this, this is laid back. It's like the Christmas that you wanted, where there's very little rules and it's just laid back, and you get presents that you're going to eat. Christmas that you wanted. Hey, so let me recap really quick. The entire Bible in a year. Ready for it? Just kidding. I did that 2 weeks ago. We did this sermon series because Jesus, when he was talking to some of the religious leaders of the day, he had said this in John chapter 5, verse 39. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." Our entire focus this entire year has been to see where we see Jesus in these scriptures. And we're going to be able to talk about that around the table. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time around the table. Thank you for food to eat, for liquid to drink, for friends to talk to. I thank you that throughout Scripture, so much of the most powerful, dynamic conversations happened around a table. And I pray, Lord, that this morning, perhaps that will be the case as well. We ask your guidance as we talk, and your joy to overflow out of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Everybody got somebody at their table they can talk to? Yep. Nope. Hey, this is a talk by, you don't have to talk. Like, nobody's going to make you talk either, okay? So, if you want to just eat, just eat. Here's the first question. Have you ever read the Bible in its entirety? Was this year the first year? Well, that could be multiple answers. Yes or no? Have you ever read the Bible in its entirety? Just go ahead and talk around your table. Won't take much to say. All right, everybody had a chance to answer already? No, you're still talking?
Hi.
Okay, show of hands, how many of you, this was your first time ever to read the Bible all the way through? Show of hands. Okay, fantastic. How many of you was this your... That's right, man. Thank you for sharing. I hope you say that when I talk to you, Jason. How many of you was this, you know, just it was another time that you've read it through in a year? You've read it through before or read it all the way through in its entirety before? Okay. All right. Well, good. See how easy that first question was? Yeah. They're not all going to be that easy, but here we go. Think back over this last year. And what is one story that stood out to you this time as you read through the Bible in a year? If you did not read through the Bible in a year, feel free to share your favorite story in the Bible. And if you don't know any Bible stories, just grab one of those Rice Krispie treats and shove it in your mouth and you'll be chewing the whole time, okay? So, whether this past year it jumped out or at any point in your life, what is your favorite Bible story, okay? Ready, set, go. All right, did everybody have a chance to share around your table? I hope you've had a chance to share. So now what we're going to do is we're going to give people at the tables just a chance. Now, if everybody shares, this will be a very long Sunday. I don't anticipate everybody sharing, so maybe three or four people that want to share their favorite story or the story that stood out to them. For me, it was Hebrews 4, 13 to 15 or so, the Sunday where we talked about Jesus understanding our weaknesses and understanding us, and we made the connection that he understands us because God told him no when he cried out to save his life, and that just been a Sunday that stuck with me this year. So not necessarily a favorite story so much as a couple of verses. So that was me. Somebody else. We got Tim and me. We got microphones. You don't have to share long, but you do get to share. Got them.
Oh, does that mean I'm first?
That means you're first.
Okay. So I also do not have just one single story. I like the Minor Prophets.
Okay.
And what I liked about them as I read them and what the things that they warned about were the things I saw in our world today. And as I saw that, it just breaks my heart to see that we are in the same place and we have not learned.
Yeah. Yeah, and we might be able to come back to you on question number four. We're doing a Minor Prophets, Major Messages series next fall. So, something to look forward to. Maybe. Oh, yeah. So, where's my...
I like the stories about David because David was very human. David screwed up over and over again. He made amazing, huge mistakes, and he paid the consequences for those mistakes. Very devastating things happened. But he always remained believing in God, faithful to God, praising God, and he always remained a man after God's own heart. Even when he was screwing up, God forgave him. If God can forgive David for the things he did, God can forgive us. And our human mistakes aren't any worse than the human mistakes David made. And God loves us just as he loved David.
Very good. Christy online says her favorite story was the story of David as well. Just his life stood out. So, very good. Frank and Jan, who are listening to us from Dallas, Texas. Hello, Frank and Jan. This was Frank's first time reading the Bible through in a year, and his favorite story was the story of the early patriarchs and their failures. I like that. Okay, anybody else? Favorite stories?
Yeah.
Only reason we're using microphones is so our friends at home can hear us.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. When Jacob was on the run from his brother Esau after he had stolen his birthright, I thought there the night of wrestling there in Padan Aram, when one of God's angels came and wrestled with David, and that brought David around to realizing they had to quit running and go home and face Esau and reconcile with him. That's one of my favorite stories.
Very good. Thank you, Phil. Everybody say hi, Phil.
Hi,
Phil. And thanks for sharing. Jason, doesn't that make you feel good? I tell you what. All right, Sherry, I've got Sherry right here.
My favorite book was Daniel, and my favorite story was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire, and King Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth person there. Saw Jesus there and how he was with them in the fire.
It was a fantastic story and a great song that we sing sometimes too, Another in the Fire. Oh, yeah, buddy, we got a favorite Bible story? Mm-hmm. Go for it. Wait, did you forget? Yeah. That's okay. Half the time I stand up here, I forget what I'm saying too. All right, so that's how this is going to work. All right, we're going to talk around the table a little bit about a question, and then we're going to have a little discussion that people can share, and then we're going to go on to the next question. All right, so next question. Oh, did you want to share a favorite Bible story? Sweet sauce. Favorite Bible story. Ready, set, go.
When baby Jesus was born.
That's a good one. Thank you for sharing. All right, next question that we're going to wrestle with around the table. If you read the Bible in a year this time, or if you've ever read parts of Scripture or stories that you have heard from Scripture, what is the one part of the reading that was confusing? And maybe there's more than one part, right? But what was confusing, frustrating, head-scratching, sad? As we were going through it, what just made you pause and go, oh? Okay, ready, set, discuss.
Thank you.
question is, what is one part of the Bible that's confusing, head-scratching, sad? Be thinking about it. I'm going to share that Frank, who again is watching from Dallas, Texas, said that the, let me get there. Perfect. He said the last few Old Testament prophets' messages seem confusing. Messages change from doom for Jerusalem to triumph from Jerusalem. The saddest was Ezekiel and depressing. So true. Well said, Frank. Thank you for sharing. Somebody else.
Parts that I've found kind of confusing or easy to get lost on really dense segments, talking about like tabernacle construction and all that. It's easy to get a lot of numbers going around, easy to get kind of lost and lose the message there.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Okay.
I don't like that the prophets aren't chronological, and it's hard to figure out where the prophets, when they're prophesying, what was going on in that time. So I think I would have benefited from a more chronological presentation of the Bible.
Well, we will come back to that. Thank you. Lobbing that one up. Christy online said numbers. You would think that as a math teacher, it'd be a math teacher's favorite, but it's tough for her to get through. Okay. Anybody else in house? We got one right in front of you. Tim? Kareem?
The part that was hard for me is the names. To try and figure out how to pronounce the names. And if I think I have it figured out one time, the next time I see it in a couple of pages later, I can't remember what I said.
Yeah, thank you for that. If you ever get them all the way down, schedule a coffee meeting with me and teach me too, okay? It may need to be more like a meal or two or a day to get them all down. Thea, one of our younger audience members online, says she gets confused by how long some people lived in the Old Testament. They just keep showing up in stories, but wouldn't they be dead yet? Thea, that's a great question. Also, she's confused by how important people die in some stories, like Samson. Man, great thoughts. Great thoughts. It is okay to have confusion, to have frustration, to have sadness in Scripture. And hopefully as we've read through this year, we've been able to feel some of that. Anybody else in house want to share? All right.
All right. So the source of frustration wasn't necessarily anything in the Bible. It was more, let's see. Let me figure out how I worded this. So I was kind of frustrated by feeling like I needed to read the Bible like out of obligation rather than like an actual desire. Like I need to catch up on my assigned reading rather than actually like, you know, get some spiritual nourishment. Yeah. So that was my source of frustration.
That's well said. I'm going to guess that there's at least one or two other hands in here. How many of you at some point this past year just felt like you were like, oh, I got to check the box and read today? Okay, so there's several more. If you have it, if you got several days to get caught up still, several as in like today, tomorrow, and Monday, Tuesday, something. Okay, that it? Question number four. What part of this Bible in a year experience was most impactful for you? Now, when I wrote that question, I'm thinking something not necessarily just a story in there, but like, for example, I exchanged daily text with Coach Mace. He's not here with us today. I don't think he's watching online. If he is, he's not texting in. But every day he and I would exchange a text about what we read. Sometimes it was a favorite part of the verse, or sometimes it was, oh man, here they go dying again. It was impactful for me to have somebody else on a daily basis sharing their perspective on the same thing that I read. So That's kind of what I'm thinking when I say impactful. So what part of this year, and if you did not read Bible in a year, just what's been the best part of your year, okay? Okay, best part of your year, most impactful part of your year, or most impactful part of reading the Bible through this year as a church. Ready, set, go. we'll continue. The question is, what part of the 2024 Bible in a year was most impactful? Or what was the best part of your year if you didn't read? Joel, watching online, said he enjoyed getting together with the First Church men's group on Saturdays and studying the Word together. There was something about community. That's really good. All right. Anybody else in here?
So there were two things that were impactful for me. One was actually reading the whole Bible within a year. That was pretty cool. The second thing was I was a part of a text community, and Jan Anderson was part of our texting group, and she really appreciated it when we would cut and paste the verses that we were talking about, because she would then listen to those verses, and that was, I really appreciated that she told us that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Making it to where everybody participates. Not everybody participates. Everybody has the potential to deeply participate. That's good. That's good. Tim's faster than me. Got quicker reflexes.
The thing that stands out for me throughout the whole Bible is the wash, spin, rinse, spin, repeat. You get it right, and then you get it spun out of you, and you have to go back and get it again. I'll never understand that, but the New Living Translation says, the Lord of Heaven's armies, and I saw that so many times, and it meant so much to me. I will, till the day I die, no matter what traumas I have, the Lord of Heaven's armies, that impacted me so much. His ways are not our ways. We will. The more we read this, the more we'll understand. What you don't understand now, the Lord of Heaven's armies.
Very good. Thank you, Dorothy. So Thea, also watching online. Thea, well done. Thea says, James's messages about the Bible in a year have led her to praying more throughout the week. That's fantastic. How old's Thea? She's 8, going on 18. Okay? Very good. Thank you, Thea. Christy found the Proverbs pretty impactful. Little thoughts to take into her day. And Thorin, who is 11, says that he learned some stories on a deeper level in Miss Patty's group. So, Miss Patty, I don't know if you're watching this morning because you've got family in Kansas, but you're making an impact. Other people, the most impactful part of this year. All right.
All right, so this kind of goes along with my other answer. I'll just read what I wrote. Where I lapse, I make room to see some small glimpse of God's grace. God doesn't love me because I do my assigned reading. He loves me because he is full of love and slow to anger.
Wow, very good. Very good. That is nothing you can do to make God love you more or less. Well done. Oh.
Thank you both. I didn't need but one.
Yeah, now I got to catch my breath.
You know, I didn't realize how important Proverbs was. Reading Proverbs, that's just a blueprint for life. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Very good. Thank you. Everybody say hi, Judy. Thanks for sharing.
The portion of scripture that has always been one of my favorites is Matthew, the gospel, the good news of Matthew, chapters 5-7, Sermon on the Mount. And here's the reason why, at least for me, that it has such an attraction, and that is, in there with the Beatitudes, we are taught the blessings we're going to have while we're here, as well as the blessings we're going to have when we transition to a closer relationship with our Father. And it also explains to us, Jesus makes no bones about it. The only way that we're going to enjoy those is if we do the will of our Father who is in heaven. And that's, isn't that the great thing about our Father in heaven? I mean, he never changes. The Ten Commandments, the two great commandments, one and the same thing. And you live those with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then we can enjoy those blessings. To me, that's pretty beautiful, guys.
Very good. Very good. Gary, thank you for sharing. Everybody say hi, Gary. Ooh. Oh, sorry. I'm going to fall down.
I think one of the things that was most impactful for me was to see how God wove situations and people and even changed history to make it all come together.
Hmm. And doesn't that give us hope?
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for sharing.
Anybody else? Tim, we got the young fellow there. All right.
I do not like the devil, I like God.
If you missed that, he says, I do not love the devil, I love God. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, I'm going to pull a fast one on you, okay? It's not on your sheets, but where did we find Jesus that most surprised you? That makes sense. It's not even going to be a question on the board. Oh, it is. Look at that. I did think ahead. Wow. Okay. Where were you most surprised to find Jesus this year? We're going to give you just a couple of moments because it might be that you weren't surprised at all. And then we'll get together and share. Okay? Where were you most surprised? Ready, set, go. Waited right till everybody started talking to get up and interrupt you. Where were you most surprised? Joel, who's watching online, said he was most surprised to find Jesus in the book of Numbers. Well done, Joel. Is Joel at home or is he upstairs? He's at home. Okay. Very good. Was anybody surprised to find Jesus somewhere? Tim, I see that hand.
Yeah, I just was kind of surprised. Well, I'd seen it before, but it was really cool to see in the prophecies in the Old Testament, knowing the story of Jesus and how that ends up, kind of seeing him mentioned throughout all of the prophecies in the Old Testament. It was really cool.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Doesn't that feel good?
So this might be kind of a different thing, but having read the prophecies and stuff and knowing how they waited for Jesus, and when I read the prophecies and they're talking about Jesus, we know always is Jesus. In the New Testament, it talks about the Word. And in my mind, I'm always thinking, what is the Word? The Word was with God and the Word was God. And what is the Word? And it came to me in service last week, I think, that the Word was the prophecy became real in the person of Jesus.
Mm. That's powerful.
And that really touched me, and I was surprised that I had not seen it after all these years. But it was always on my mind, what is the Word? What does that mean? Does it mean he spoke anything and everything happened? Okay, well, it did. But to realize that we had waited so long for him, and they had all of these words of prophecy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they had an actual flesh and blood person.
Wow, very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing, Kareem. Yeah. Okay. Seeing no more hands, thank you all for sharing around your tables with each other and those that spoke online, those watching online as well. Thank you for that. What's next, right? You know, I've been having people actually for a good several months say, hey, what are we going to do as a church? Because this has been great. We need to keep doing something like that. That's a fair question. It's a very fair question. What's next? We do have a group of people who is wanting to read through the Bible chronologically, which Heidi mentioned earlier. On the back table, it's a chronological reading of or lists of verses that you would read that will put it chronologically. If you want to sign up to be part of a text chat group for that, great. If you want to just do that, also fine. You can use your own personal Bible. You don't have to. There's not like a special Bible you have to buy. It's just this piece of paper that, you know, on the first of the year, Genesis 1 to 3. But you come the fourth, and all of a sudden you're reading in Job. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? So should be fun. That's an option. You know, yeah. Oh, really? You can get the same app? Okay. Well, apparently you can get the same app. Thank you, Dick. I've been pondering this, right? Because I want to, this has been a good year. This has been a very good year for us as a church to do this together. And over the last couple of weeks as I've been thinking about this, what kept popping up was, you know, we've spent the last year looking in here for Christ, right? And we've been finding him. My challenge to us is this next year, let's keep reading, but let's look up and let's look out. Because Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which we read January 1 of last year, said God created people, man and woman, in his image. So every person around has the image of God in them. And I wonder if we can both continue finding Jesus in the scriptures, but also find him in the people around us and love him in those people around us. I started reading a book last week titled Stranger God, Meeting Jesus in Disguise, and it's based out of the passage in Matthew 25 where it's, you know, Jesus said he separated the goats and the sheep, and, you know, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, I was a stranger and the book is based all around that idea that Jesus was a stranger and he still could be a stranger out there that we may be interacting with. So my encouragement to us as we kind of go forward from here, not just to the rest of this year, but you know, into next year, is to look for Jesus in our friends, in our family. Look for him in our co-workers, our classmates. Look for him in the strangers that we encounter, whether it's on the street corner, in the grocery store, at our place of employment, at the gym, in the neighborhood. Look for him in our everyday life. I think Jesus smiled that we read the Bible in a year. I do. I absolutely do. I think he will smile just as big if we can find him out there and love the people as if they are him. Make sense? I was a stranger and you. Let's look for the stranger and find Jesus in them. All right, he's alive, he's active, he's visible out there as well as in here. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing three more songs and then we're going to be done. So if you got food left on your table, you got to eat and sing at the same time. But I'm going to pray first. Lord, thank you that we have had such an adventure together where we've been able to look in the pages, both old and new, and see your Son, see our Christ, our chosen King, see our Lamb of God. Lord, I ask that you would help us as we move forward to continue to look for Jesus, to start each day with, all right, where am I going to see Jesus? Where am I going to see his actions, his love, his pursuit, his love, his care, his discipline today? And Lord, as we find that in other people, may we be purposeful to both recognize it, celebrate it, and love them as we love you. Help this not just be a year that, you know, is fun to look back on, but may it be a year that's been transformative in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead and stand with us.